Washington, D.C. This is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com.
They say that size doesn't matter, but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
In thrust, we trust. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hello, is this thing on? Oh my goodness. It is. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the Wix Warbird Weekly Radio Show here, live with you on November 2nd, 2011. And it's the first time that myself, Ryan Keough, and co-host Zane Adams have actually been on the air together for a while. We had a little bit of a time where our schedules just didn't work out. But hey, Zane, how are you?
Fine, Ryan. How are you?
I'm great.
You recovered from Vegas and everything else that goes on in Phoenix in your life,
well,
I guess?
Well, yeah, so, yes.
You're still here? That's good.
I am. I've been spontaneously combusted or anything like that. And just to clarify for listeners, I was in Vegas for business. No, I wasn't trying to, you know, beat the slots or do something that George Clooney would be found doing in a movie or anything like that. I was actually there on business, and I work in the aviation industry, so that means that I'm naturally poor anyway, so it's not like I could gamble anyhow. So, yeah, that's the way it is.
That old axiom, how do you make $1 million in aviation? You start with two or something?
Exactly. Exactly. That is so, so very true. Well, we welcome everybody who's listening to us this evening, and glad to be back with you live here, and hoping we get some good listeners, and we are really hoping to get some great callers. It's been a while, so hope to hear from some Wix members out there, Warbird community members. So we welcome you to give us a call here in the studio. 478-787-4768 is the number to call. Again, 478-787-4768 if you want to yak with Zane and myself, from R to Z, Ryan to Zane. Give us a call here at the Wix Warbird Weekly Show on November 7th. A lot of stuff has happened since the last time we talked, hasn't it, Zane? I mean, geez, it's been a while, and we've got some really exciting stuff that's come over the transom during that time period.
Yeah, you missed the big to-do, the IL-2 coming out of Russia, you know, a hidden treasure there that it was kind of under the radar, being under restoration to fly, and now we know where that thing's going. So I think Paul Allen certainly must have something to do with it, because it's going to his house.
That is true.
Shortly, I don't know exactly when, but they've made an official announcement on it this week, and it's just exciting that airplane's going to be flying here in the United States. You know, it's like I said before, it's one of those I never thought I'd see fly, you know, and it's just great. So,
well, and I, you know, one of the things that I am particularly excited about, the fact is that it gives me faith again that there is the ability for a restoration shop to actually do a full blown restoration on any aircraft type, and have it completely under the radar and really have it surprise the world when it actually takes a first flight. Now, granted, you may have to build it in the inner regions of Russia in order to be able to get it done. But my goodness, that it was,
yeah,
it really, it took us all by surprise.
Yeah, it seems like there was a little tidbit here a couple of years ago that I remember seeing somewhere in the forum or something that, hey, there's this thing under restoration. And I think at the time it was one of those deals that, you know, everybody thought that maybe it was just a restoration for a static display or a museum or something like that. You know, it was definitely not on the radar as a flying restoration. So, you know, it was amazing.
Well, and I think it's really going to be interesting to see. You know, for a long time we all sat here and said, you know, the days of the massive Warbird restorations and you know, these real sleepers and stuff are long behind us because the airframes are just not there, and it's too costly to recover this and too costly to restore this and stuff. Well, you know what? I think you're going to see a lot more. In fact, with our weak dollar and the fact that a lot of talent is coming from overseas, we've got Russia, we've got New Zealand, we've got Australia, South Africa in the mix. I think we're going to see some really neat stuff coming through. We saw the MiG-3 come through a couple of years back, and that's certainly a great thing. You know, who knows? Crossing our fingers, and we do have some great collectors out there that are willing to spend the money and spend the time to actually do these things right. And as far as I can see from the videos and from the photos, it looks like a pretty right restoration for that Sturmovik. So,
yeah.
We shall see. But luckily it's got
an Allison engine in it, I guess. So, it's got a power plant that'll live and can, you know, that can be worked on, parts can be found, so it could fly for a considerable amount of time, I think.
That's true. And yeah, there's tons of Allisons out there because heaven knows there were tons of them that were grabbed after World War II by farmers and everybody under the sun that used them on pulling tractors. So
there you go.
There's cores and parts all over the place. And some great shops that actually do some great work on the Allison engine. It'll be great to see that going, but you know, and on top of, oh, go ahead.
I said exciting. It's just exciting. Yeah.
Oh yeah, absolutely. And of course, you know, during that time, we've had some great shows. This past weekend, we had Randolph Air Force Base had a big showing, and I was excited to see. I think this is one of the first times that the Collings Foundation brought all three of their kerosene burners down to the show at Randolph, being the
F-4 Phantom. Kerosene burners.
Yep. Four. Well, yeah, that's true. I forget about the Huey. So, yeah, sorry Rick, if you're listening, I do count the Huey now, so, but at least the three fixed wing kerosene burners,
there you go.
First time I'd seen their T-33 up in the air, flown by Rick Sharp. That was great to see. But of course, the A-4 and the F-4 up in the air, and it really is a hop, skip, and a jump over to Randolph in San Antonio. And it looks like they had fantastic weather for it, unlike the weekend before in the Fort Worth area. But I'll let you talk to that a little bit later on.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little while. But you know, I was reading on one of the other forums, of some guy talked about the gave a little review of the Randolph show, and it basically, you know, they had the Vietnam demo going, and Collings Foundation was a huge part of that with their four aircraft there. And you know, apparently, you know, the F-4 was kind of stole the show down there, and then having all three of those airplanes, you know, flying together, and then there was a couple of Hueys, I think, and you know, it was apparently very, very well done Vietnam demo, and the crowd was appreciative of it, and you know, it's just amazing. I mean, the F-4 is amazing to see and amazing to think about that it's being out there. But it going to an air show, they do very few air shows with that airplane because it costs a lot of money, of course. It, you know, it burns dollar to quicker than anything, just about anything out there. So you know, but there's been some good reviews. Some people I've talked to that were at Randolph said it was Sierra Hotel going on right down there.
Well, you know, the one thing I will say too is that there was a lot of concern earlier in the year with Wings Over Houston eliminating their entire Vietnam routine out of the show, and I know a lot of people were disappointed in that. And it's good to see that in airplane. I mean, granted, San Antonio's 90 some odd miles away, and it's, you know, it's close in Texas terms probably than anything else. But you know, that at least an air show that's relatively close was able to kind of take the torch and really, you know, bring some great honor to the Vietnam vets and put a great show on for it. So I'm glad to see they stepped up to the plate, and I'm glad to see that the Collings Foundation's West Coast, or I should say their Southwest crew got a chance to put some air under the wings of their fleet. So hopefully we'll hear from Rick Harris soon in regards to that and see what their plans are for the winter maintenance on the jet program down there. So we'll hopefully get him on with a future show. Or if Rick, if you're listening, give us a call tonight. And for anybody else who's listening, give us a call, 478-787-4768. Again, 478-787-4768 to give us a call. It's 9 minutes after the hour. And if you're listening to us on November 2nd, yes, you are listening to us live. It's been a while, but come on, give us a call. So,
something call in so we don't have to talk to ourselves all night.
Well, yeah. Although it's all, you know, Zane and I do this at least a couple of times a week, anyways, and kind of just chew the fat. Heck, we're doing it on we're doing it over the air for you guys, and we built the Wix show to be a call in show and to hear from our members and our family out there in the Warbird community. So we'd love to hear from you. Obviously, you know, the tour season for a lot of the touring groups is winding down. I got word from Chris Trowbridge over at B-24 and B-29 squadron at the CAF that Fifi and old 927 made it back into Addison, and they're already tearing Fifi apart and getting her into her winter maintenance schedule and getting ready for 2012. So glad to see that they've already jumped into that. Of course, you know, being on the road puts a lot of time and wear on all your components and stuff, but it looked like it was a pretty darn good season for Fifi for being the first full season out there. They had over 100 paying rides this year on the airplane, so I think that's considered to be in the win column at least.
I think it was more than, I don't know if it was 100 rides or if it was 100 flights.
That's
rides, right, or something.
Flights.
But, they apparently had a really tremendous season, and apparently the airplane performed really well, especially, you know, doing that much flying after being down so long. They've got to work out their kinks in the airplane, and apparently she performed marvelously. They were very happy with her. Of talking to Brad Pilgrim on one of their flight engineers on there, and he said the airplane performed really well. Had a couple of hiccups here and there, but what their old airplane doesn't. But you know, they were real happy with the airplane, and of course the B-29 or the B-24, old 927 is here in Addison. They're going to be flying it this weekend, and they've got rides open this weekend. I don't know how many seats they've got open, but they've cut the price down to $299. So if you're in the Dallas area this weekend or thinking about coming to the Dallas area this weekend, hop on their B-29, B-24 squadron website there and see if they've got seats available, because I know this may be the last weekend. I don't know if they're going to fly the B-24 further into the winter, since they did quite a bit of maintenance and it's been late coming out of maintenance. But they are flying, and for right now, that price is cheap. So,
yeah, I'm considering it to be the Texas Rangers sympathy discount. That's my thought, at least.
Wah, wah, wah. We don't need to bring that up now. Thank you very much.
if you all are new, if you couldn't tell by the voice, Zane's from Texas. So
yeah, and our beloved Rangers play about 3 miles down the road from the house here, and it's just a terrible thing to have to put up with. But we'll come back.
There's always next year.
As long as we don't become the Buffalo of baseball, I'll be all right.
Hey, I grew up in Buffalo, and I had 4 years of that I had to go through.
Know exactly how it is.
That's why I'm in aviation, because I'm used to disappointment sometimes. So
there you go. Sorry about that. I couldn't help it. You brought it up.
That's okay. Well, getting on with bombers coming to roost. Yeah. We've got the Collings Foundation there on their last swing of the tour before they head back for winter maintenance. Heading out of Fernandina Beach, Florida, I think tomorrow, heading down to Gainesville, Florida, into Gator Country, and they're going to be doing 3 days down there, and then heading over to New Smyrna Beach, where the talented wrenches over at American Aero Services are going to dig into the B-17, B-24, and P-51C, and make sure that they're tip top and ready to go for the Florida tour, which begins again in January. So they're going to be down for a little while and give the crews a little some much needed downtime after being on the road for about 210 days, 7 days a week, 12 hours a day. Yeah, that's
grueling. Yeah,
that's a little grueling. I mean, you could love warbirds, but boy, oh boy, warbirds are one thing. Public is different. So that's definitely a good thing for them. And then, of course, we've got aluminum overcast. Looks like it's coming into your neck of the woods, and it sounds like you might have some interesting opportunities to get a little bit of experience with a bomber there, Zane, huh?
Yeah, possibly. I've got been talking with the EAA. The aluminum overcast is coming into Spinks Airport. Never mind that it says Dallas on their tour schedule on their website, but it's Spinks Airport in South Fort Worth this weekend. Should be here tomorrow. I'm going to go out and visit with them tomorrow, and keep your fingers crossed that the visit goes exceptionally well tomorrow. We'll find out later. Stay tuned for news from that. But I'm definitely going to get to interview the crew and talk to them tomorrow, and hope things go well tomorrow. So just leave it at that for now. But they're beginning a Texas tour. They're coming out of Oklahoma. They're going to be here in Fort Worth. They're going to Tyler and Austin and down in the Hill Country down to Kerrville, Texas. Be a good stop for them, probably. It's a very nice part of the country and doesn't get to see tours like this very often. They usually stop in San Antonio or something. So stopping in Kerrville should be a treat for them. And then it's going on to Houston and then back east into the south there. So they're still flying the airplane. I don't know how much tour they've got left. That's all they've got through there is into the middle of December, going to be in Mississippi. So I don't know how much further they're going to be flying, but they'll definitely be here in this area. So if you're in Fort Worth, come check her out this weekend.
Yeah, well, I couldn't imagine they would want to fly too far into December, because you know what? Oshkosh is pretty darn cold, and that arrival back up there, yeah, I wouldn't want to bring a B-17 in minus 20 degree temperatures.
Oh, yeah, I know. The B-17, speaking of B-17s, Chucky came back the military museum, and Jerry Yagan was gracious enough to allow Chucky to come back for their annual hangar dance here in October, and so the airplane was here for a couple of weeks. I got to go out and visit with John Bronner. He got to fly back here with her, and the airplane looks good. She flew back to Virginia there a couple of weeks ago, and one Sunday morning, and that flight is pretty chilly. You spend 7 or 8 hours in the bomber at 7 or 8,000 feet, and this time of year it gets pretty cool in the airplane. So
yeah.
I know the crews that flew her back last January were well frozen before they got back. So yeah,
I think Pat Mahaffey's pinky finger is finally getting its feeling back now.
It's still a little blue, but yeah, exactly right. I can't imagine flying one in Wisconsin in January. So,
boom. But heck, I mean, here we are complaining about flying it in cold temperatures and stuff. What about the guys that flew it during World War II? Here they were in worse cold. I mean, granted, they had their flight suits and blue bunny suits and all that stuff, and most airplanes these days don't have all the electrical system into the outlets and stuff and back, but still, they had to fly it in worse temperatures and without oxygen. So I guess we shouldn't be complaining. I mean,
I also talked about that. He was a B-24 pilot, and he talked about flying, those missions up at, 20,000 feet, and the oxygen masks just wear your face out, and the electric. They did have electric suits. He did anyway, and he said they either worked and burned you to death or didn't work. So you just put up with it for 7 or 8 hours. So yeah, our hats off to those guys that you know, it flew them for sure. Ugh. Yeah, scary stuff.
Absolutely, absolutely. And well, speaking of warmer climes, I guess, and if you want to talk about B-17s, at least in you know, less frigid conditions and stuff, a little bit more, or Sentimental Journey, she's still flying around down here in Scottsdale and the Mesa area. In fact, first time in well, probably almost 10 years, I think, since 9/11, Scottsdale Airport, just outside of my zone here in Phoenix, is having its first airfare in about 10 years, and they're going to have, of course, the CAF Arizona wing B-17 and B-25, along with their SNJ. They're going to be offering rides in all three, and then also the P-51, the Tuskegee Airmen Red Tail P-51 from the CAF Minnesota wing is going to be coming down, along with their interpretive museum exhibit trailer and lots of other stuff that's going to go on. And there's you know, of course, there's quite a few warbirds in the Valley of the Sun down here to begin with, so I think there's probably going to be a fairly good showing. So I'm looking forward to seeing that and seeing what shows up and what little you know, surprises come around the corner for that. But that'll hopefully be a good event. That's coming up on November 5th and 6th over the weekend of that this coming weekend. So hopefully that'll be a good show for it. So we'll see how it goes. I actually got some news from their side too, that they've just added a C-47 Skytrain and a PT-17 Stearman to their squadron, just recently purchased and brought on board. And they're working hard to get those ready for 2012, and they're hopefully going to be offering rides in those airplanes too. So cool. great group of folks out here with the Arizona wing, and you know, wish them all the best, and that'll bring their stable of ride airplanes up to, I think, a full six airplanes. So it'll be kind of neat, because you can learn how to fly like the old crews did, start out in the PT-17, then go up to the SNJ, and then go into their C-45 and learn multi-engine, and then hop on board the B-25 or B-17. You know, hey, there you go. So anyway, yeah. that's my plug for my local guys.
Well, there you go. Since I got to plug a couple of locals, you get to as well. So
as well. So, but it's 20 minutes after the hour, and you're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly live here with Zane Adams and Ryan Keough here. We're live here on the 2nd of November, and we're still looking for calls. So if you want to give us a call here, we're chatting warbirds and everything under the sun here. Give us a call at 478-787-4768, and let us know what's going on in your neck of the woods. Wix members or any warbird enthusiasts encouraged. It's 478-787-4768. So one neat thing that I'm hoping to make my way up for, and I'm looking forward to, you know, possibly meeting our producer there, Mr. Matt Jolly, is the ICAS convention, the International Council of Air Shows conventions, coming up on December 4th through 7th up in Las Vegas. So I get to go back to Las Vegas again, I'm looking forward to that. But I think it'll be an interesting show. I think it'll be a very it'll be a good show, because it's a way for everybody to kind of, you know, get back together and kind of I guess recenter ourselves after what's been considered to be a very, very rough year for air shows. I think it'll be very good time for us to honor those that we have lost over the year, but I think also celebrate the history of air shows and the continuing tradition of air shows, and you know, building on the successes that we've had in the last several decades to bring up bring air shows to the safety standards and to the entertainment standards that they've been at, and hopefully we'll have a very, very good showing for it. And I'm looking forward to seeing the Warbird groups up there yet again, and touching base with everybody and seeing how things go, and you know, maybe even yakking a little bit with Matt. So that'll be something I'm looking forward to on my side. It's not an air show, but
hey, a little bit, you know, it's all the air show people, and that's what counts, right?
That is true. That is true. You know what? You know, you bring up a great point. It is the people. It's one of the things that I love about air shows is that, yeah, it's cool to see airplanes tumbling through the air, and it's cool to hear the noise, and it's, you know, cool to see all the stuff that goes on with an air show. But you know what? What makes the air show special is the people, the performers, the people that coordinate the show, the people that the enthusiasts that are part of our group that we meet up with. It's usually the people. people that, that really make it special. So I'm personally very, very glad that hopefully we'll get the opportunity to go up there. It'll be the first time in, well, probably almost 5 years that I'll be up at ICAST. So
looking cool. That'd be fun. It'd be fun to go to. It's one of those deals I'd like. It's on my list there, you know. So, but well, I hope you make it up there, and I hope you have a good time. So
Zane, just ask the guys from Illumina Overcast to just drop you off. That's all you need to do.
There we go. All right, if they're flying that way, sure.
Hey, long as you're flying,
I'll go. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. Go a little further. It's okay. It's okay.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and you know, you're talking about people at air shows, and I noticed that you know, our local Fort Worth air show was a couple of weeks ago, and I was out there on Friday and Saturday, and of course they didn't have the air show Sunday because it rained and the parking lot was messed up, and they decided that was enough to cancel the show. But that's another story. But anyway, I was hanging out with some of the guys from the Kavanaugh Museum, and hanging out with a little bit there on the ramp with Chuck Gardner and Steve Swift and Doug Jeans and some of those guys there. And I mean, it was good fun. We're you're standing around, you're talking airplanes, you know, you're watching other things go on, but you know, and you know as well as I do, you've been around airplanes long enough, Brian, and you've probably been to enough air shows that you know, just standing out there on the line, oohing and awing at all the aerobatic acts and the occasion, you know, the occasional jet act. You've seen it all, basically, you know, and the stuff you haven't seen is that's what was cool is just standing around yakking with these people and people, you know, and you know, I met a couple of web guys out there that were taking photographs. A guy from Scramble, which is a web and a magazine from Europe. You know, I met the editor. He was there. And, you know, standing around talking airplanes and air shows with these guys. And then something would happen and, you know, something would fly by that would catch everybody's attention. And they'd pay attention to that and watch that and then come back to the conversation and stuff. And being in that kind of environment, it's a lot of fun. And, you know, I encourage people to get to know the people out there at air shows. These pilots, most of them are highly approachable. I know all the Kavanaugh guys were standing on the line. You know, some of their airplanes were on the hot line, hot ramp there, but they were standing there close to them and were talking with people. And, you know, the military crews were out talking with people. And, you know, if you're out there at air shows, stop and say hi to these people and get to know them. And it's well worth it. It's a rewarding experience just to hang out there with them. So.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, it's one of the things that I've seen with a lot of air show pilots and such is that, you know, this is their most of the time their job. I mean, guys like Rob Holland, who's, you know, on the air show circuit, you know, probably, you know, 40 shows a year and such. You know, it gets repetitious. They're doing the same thing over and over and over again. And you know what? It gets pretty boring just sitting under your airplane. And you know, everybody's so afraid to not, you know, oh, I don't want to upset the, you know, the talent or whatever the heck it is. You know, they're people like you and me. I mean, in fact, it's funny because you know a lot of these folks. I mean, you talked about Steve Swift. I mean, a lot of these folks came from really just general, you know, I guess. You know, blue collar roots like all of us. I mean, we all earned our way up into Warbird, you know, Warbird operations somehow. And, you know, it's, you know, doing the time, turning the wrenches, you know, putting the blood, sweat, and tears into it. And, you know what? We just like to talk to people. And so, you know, make their day and go over and just say hi, strike up a conversation. Really does help. So, but and plus, you know, you can give them tidbits on, you know, they always want to know where the good places in town to eat are and all that kind of stuff too that you can't figure out by being there for 3 days. So,
yeah. Anyways, oh yeah, so. Yeah. They definitely need direction. So
very true. Well, yeah. Well, the pilots they need vectors. So
yeah. There you go.
But anyways. Oh, yeah. We're going to take a quick break and for our station identification and commercials, and we'll be back with you in a few minutes. You're listening to the Wix Warbird Weekly live here on Warbird Radio.
Live from Washington, D.C., this is Warbird Radio.
Log on now to FightingColors.com. That's FightingColors.com for more on Gary Velasco and his amazing nose art. That's FightingColors.com. They say that size doesn't matter,
but we all know that's a lie. Size always matters when you're talking about trucks or that steak that you ate last night. Don't fall for those cheap gimmicks or stupid commercials. You want to increase your size, do it the old-fashioned way. Get yourself some man tires. That's right, man tires. A good set of man tires can change any wussy wagon into a respectable man-mobile in minutes. Just visit mymantires.com and see what you've been missing. That's mymantires.com. Men, the time is now. Log on to mymantires.com and tell them you want some of them man tires. Man tires, the original male enhancement. Available now, only on mymantires.com.
Hi, I'm Chris.
And I'm Rob.
And we're two of the crew members from Warbird Rescue. Call in Thursday nights at 8 Eastern to join the lively discussion of Warbird restoration. Find out how we can put you in touch with a Warbird project in your area. And be sure to visit us online at warbirdrescue.com.
That's warbirdrescue.com.
And we'll talk to you Thursdays at 8 right here on Warbird Radio.
In thrust, we trust. This is Warbird Radio. Tune in. Take off.
Hey folks, we are back here with the Wix Warbird Weekly live radio show here on November 2nd, 2011, just a couple of days before Veterans Day here in the United States. And we're with you live if you're listening to us on November 2nd. And I'm Ryan Keough, and joining me as he does... Well, actually, I join Zane almost every week, it seems like, instead of the other way around. Zane Adams.
That's okay, Ryan. I know you're a busy guy, and I mean, you're an important guy over there at Cutter Aviation, so you gotta take your lumps just like every rest of us. So.
I know. The latrines need to be cleaned every single day, and you know what? It sometimes the perfectionist in me just gets a little too tough. So, anyways, I just got a tweet from a well-known Twitter person that I'm speaking to about a very controversial paint subject. We were talking about the IL-2 earlier on.
Yes.
There's been some controversy going on with the Flying Heritage Collection's P-40, going into into Shark Teeth, Flying Tigers colors and such.
Beautiful, beautiful paint job.
Yeah, but reports, and this is only a rumor, but reports are that supposedly when the IL-2 comes over here, it's going to be repainted into United States Army Air Corps test colors, like it would have been seen at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base for evaluation purposes. So, my goodness, you've got an IL-2, and it's going to be in American colors.
Oh, I like that idea. The gray on the bottom, and
yeah, I would assume so. I mean, this is just in the rumor stage right now, but you know that there are going to be people that are going to be up in arms over this on Wix, just absolutely up in arms. You know,
yeah, I mean, if it's historically accurate, I mean. Then it should be okay, right?
I did hear that there might be some day glow orange that might be part of it.
Well, it's the test colors. You gotta have
that. Of course. Of course, yes. Yes, yeah. But it's also going to be high gloss as well. So
high gloss, day glow painted planes, huh?
And it's going to have invasion stripes on the underside too. So
well, now that's stretching it, Brian. I don't believe that part at all.
Totally a rumor. Totally a rumor. So, I think the new term for Wix, so the Warbird Information Exchange, should be the forum where you can come and talk all day long about paint. That's all.
Yeah.
You can.
So, oh yeah. Oh yeah. 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 Speaking of paint, and the most recent paint controversy, of course, on Wix has been, I don't know if you weren't around when we were talking about this, but Stephen Wilkinson, he's involved with Hollywood and stuff, and he's a Wixer on there. And he posted a couple weeks ago that he needs a flying 707. Apparently, the Pan Am producers, the television show Pan Am, were looking for a 707, a flying airplane that they could use, I guess, on set or something, so for one of their episodes. And it was quite interesting for him. He posted that on Wix, and I got a treatsy history. I didn't know much about 707s. I know they're cool-looking airplanes, but, you know, and about what's left flying out there, it's kind of sad. This iconic aircraft, there's only two, I guess, flying regular passenger service, and you have to go to Tehran to get on those rides. You know, but they are still flying, and, you know, I imagine there's some wild-eyed anorganic Brits that, you know, go out there and do that. And but
I don't know about Iran, if I would go there to
well,
take it.
Yeah, with a British passport, it's okay, but
that's
you know,
that's good.
And but apparently, you know, they ended up with I guess the only one available really was John Travolta's airplane. Mm-hmm. Flying in Qantas colors, and there's a photo posted of it in some sort of vinyl wrap with Pan Am on the fuselage. Still had the Qantas V-Jet tail, red tail on it. And apparently they borrowed some Cessna's N number for the airplane as well. So, you know, that fits, you know, if it was just a Warbird, it would fit the form to a T. But so far, you know, that's the latest controversy on paint at Wix.
Well, when it comes to Hollywood, you can never, ever trust Hollywood for making everything right. I mean, you look at even the most recent stuff with, like, Memphis Belle back in the 90s. I mean, the airplanes look great. I mean, they really look great. But there were problems with, you know, the way nose art was applied. It was too perfect in some cases. And the battle wear was too, you know, there's always controversy in terms of, you know, how authentic is authentic. And, you know, when it comes to the great general masses that, you know, watch Pan Am or watch, you know, one movie or the next and stuff, they're not going to be looking for, you know, the little intricate details that all of us are. They're going to be just like, ooh, airplane, you know.
Yeah, I know. I've been watching Pan Am just because, and my wife and my son, you know, they just look at me and point their fingers and tell me to shut up. You know, and my son has complained that, you know, that I'm being an old codger, and, you know, I need to just shut up anytime there's an airplane on TV. So, you know, I've learned my lesson, Ryan.
Well, no, you have to make them learn that, you know, you're the senior, you're the elder person in the household, and, you know, what goes goes. You know,
you've been married that long. Have you?
Yeah, I have not. No. I have not been married that long.
Yeah, sorry. Well,
but it is, you're absolutely right about the 707. And, you know, to remind people, we do actually have, I mean, for those listeners out there that are not necessarily Warbird fanatics, we actually do have a vintage civil aviation section, where actually there's quite a few posts up there about some of the vintage restorations that are going on, including the Super Constellation restoration that's taking place up in Auburn, Lewiston, Maine. Was the one of the aircraft that was saved by Maurice Roundy up there. He had three Starliners at one time, and Lufthansa this is like the Warbird dream. Anybody who's thinking about the dream scenario in terms of restorations needs to take a cue from Lufthansa on this one. Okay, so not only do they buy the two airplanes, plus I think they bought parts of the third one that's sitting down in Florida at Kermit Weeks's place you know, for spare parts. They not only buy it, but they move the airplanes over to the other side of the airport, build a custom hangar for the airplane,
so they can work year round in Maine. Yeah.
Work year round in Maine because it gets pretty darn cold up in Maine. There, you know. They brought over all of their technicians, and they brought over they custom built jigs and assemblies and stuff, and are literally going through every single piece of that airplane with a fine tooth comb, documenting everything on that airplane, so that when it rolls out and takes to the skies in Auburn, Lewiston, Maine, it is going to be basically a brand new airplane like it rolled off the line at Lockheed in Burbank. I look at the pictures of it being worked on. It's like it's a poster child for what you should do for a restoration. So, we've got some Ralph Peterson, who's one of our members, posts updates to that and all the other Connie survivors and such over there too. And so it's a good little thing to see. And we encourage people to participate in that area too.
Sure.
If you want to talk a little bit about, well, take a little diversion away from warbirds and stuff. So.
Oh yeah, I mean there's Stinson talk, there's Waco talk. Air Masters and Fairchilds and all kinds of fun over there. Yeah. I like that part of the forum.
Yeah. Plus, well, you forget too. During World War II, a lot of the classic airplanes were impressed into service. Fairchild 24s became UC-61s, and Lockheed Electras, the 10As, became VIP transports and such. It kind of has a tie-in no matter what. So, and of course, I actually brought up a pretty good, argument after World War II. I asked this question on Facebook. I said, what was the first real purpose-built jet, business jet that was built, that wasn't attached to the military at all? And we found out that it wasn't until about the 1980s that the actual first non-military contract business jet design came out, because of course you had the Lockheed Jetstar was a military contract, the Learjet was a Swiss design that was built for the military. A lot of your Dassault products were the same thing. So a lot of things came from the military when it came right down to it. It was interesting to see kind of the roots of, well, yeah, you've got a business jet there, but it could be a warbird too.
They go. The military usage goes deep on that. So I mean, there was Learjet. There was a Marine Learjets, C-21 or whatever, doing circuits up here in Fort Worth a couple of days ago. So don't pout it at the airliners and the corporate jets, because they serve a purpose.
They serve the purpose, and you know what? The American taxpayers will pay for some of them to be used in military service, and you know what? They're going to be future warbirds too. So that's
there you go.
It might be a little bit more posh than you're used to, but anyways. But speaking of actually a posh warbird that actually I've been watching the market, the warbird market. I think it's fascinating recently to see the buying and selling, who's got what up for sale currently, who's got who's trying to get their airplane sold, or what the prices are doing and stuff. And I've been watching, kind of surprised. I actually saw Wix member and actually friend of the warbird community, Jim Beasley, noticed that his Spitfire, his F-18 Spitfire SM-969, really, really nice bubble top Spitfire that he just acquired a couple of years back, is currently on brokerage with Platinum Fighter Sales out of California. Mm-hmm. Price isn't listed, so I'm guessing it's going to be fetching a pretty high price. I'm kind of surprised to see that he's trying to turn that around. So wondering if there might be something down the line that Mr. Beasley is looking at, possibly replace it with, or
who knows what that'll come.
What a great airplane. And then of course the TA-4J Skyhawk that was restored down here in Marana, Arizona, not too long ago, took its first flights last year, is up for sale for a cool just shy of $3 million if you're interested in a two-seat F or TA-4, so that's currently up there. But if I had the money, I would buy it. The scooters look like they would be a hell of a lot of fun. So
and as long as you could keep ahead of the roll rate,
That's true. I'd have to put a limiter, I think, or put my knees closer together or something. But one of the things that I saw on their site, Platinum's pretty well known for their fighter trade and such, is that they actually have a P-38H that I had not seen. out on the market at this point. And so it might have been up there for a while. I just hadn't seen it around. But it's bureau number 42-66534. And it's actually a combat vet. Flew with Satan's Angels, 475th Fighter Group, and currently listed at $445,000. It's a project airplane. Mm-hmm. As is, but the owner says that the airplane could be made airworthy within 4 years of restoration, but post-restoration, if you want to buy it as a contracted restoration, you're looking at about $4.8 million. So that's $1 million a year. But if you want, if you want to grab it right now for your own and put into your garage and work on it in your spare time and lose a couple of wives, I think that you could do that too. But $445,000, still it's a pretty good chunk of change for a project airplane. Yet you could still get a pretty hefty flying warbird. I mean, heck, there's an A-26C, former Airspray A-26C, that's going for $125,000 right now in flyable condition. I said, you can't even buy new. You can't even buy a Cessna 172 for that these days. So you can get an R2800 powered A26 for that. And this is what I got. This is what really made me laugh, is that there's an AT-11 on the market for $195,000. So you can get a smaller twin engine airplane and and basically pay a little bit more for it. So the market is just up and down, and I guess that's just the way it is with that's just the way it is with the economy. Everything's because of the economy. Why is it happening? It's the economy. So
that, and I mean, you talk about that A26. I mean, the only thing that's going against it, it's the gas. I mean, they're thirsty airplanes. I mean, there's a B-25 for $550,000 on courtesy as well. But the gas, I mean, that's a chunk of change there. But I mean, but if for $125,000 for an Invader, it seems kind of cheap. It takes a lot to feed it.
So, that is true. That is true.
So if you're comfortable throwing $100 bills into the fireplace, go out and get yourself a Warbird.
Yeah. Of course, if you're looking for a reasonable family Warbird, transport family Warbird, glad to say that one of my favorite Wildcats is back up on the market again. November 11 Foxtrot Echo, the FM2 Wildcat it is the four-seat Wildcat, as I like to call it, plus three passengers in the back. Very, very uniquely configured limited category airplane has been put back on the market again, and it's actually going for a relatively reasonable price, $935,000. And I think that would just be more fun than, more fun than catching frogs and in a creek or whatever. It would be great.
It'd be fun. I saw that airplane down in Houston last year and talked with the owner, and I'm kind of surprised it's for sale. The owner seemed very excited about the airplane at the time. He was a little, he had not flown it yet. He was getting enough T6 time under his belt to be comfortable in the airplane. But I don't know if I'd be comfortable sitting in that hole back there behind the pilot. I'd have to trust the guy up front implicitly, but
it's a mini Avenger, basically. It's a Grumman product, so it's built brick outhouse, but I've heard a lot of people, it's funny because it's gone through a couple of hands and people have said, oh, I'm going to take that stuff out. I'm going to make it original. Well, it hasn't gone into that. I think once they get it, they realize, this is kind of cool. it's a unique conversion that was made, actually very, very well. It kind of reminds one of an old Lockheed Orion where, you had the passenger compartment in the back, and actually there's quite a bit of room. You just don't even realize it and stuff. That little tubby fighter has a good amount of room in the back. So I guess if you want to bring your own air show support team and your PX and everything with you, that's a better airplane than anything else. But
You could, throw a mechanic back there and a small toolbox and you're good to go.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Mm-hmm. So, one thing we wanted to make sure and plug is the is for this week, this coming up this weekend is the Warriors and Warbirds Air Show in Monroe, North Carolina, and that's coming up this weekend. So make sure you get out there to see that great show. Warbird Radio, I believe, was in attendance of that last year, and will be again this year. So make
Go
sure
and say hi to Matt. Yeah,
absolutely, absolutely. Again, a Warriors and Warbirds Air Show in Monroe, North Carolina, coming up this Saturday and Sunday. So make sure you grab that. And
also this weekend, the couple of the guys we had on the show here a couple weeks ago, the 25th Huey Organization, November 5th, they're going to be in Pleasanton, California, at the Veterans Day Parade there. And on Veterans Day, November 11th, I think they're going to be flying all over the San Francisco Bay Area doing things. So if you're out there in California, look those guys up. Greater bunch of air show or Warbird guys you'll never meet. So go out there and support them as well. They're out there in Pleasanton this weekend. So
definitely.
A little plug for those guys.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And make sure if you're listening, tune in tomorrow night to our sister show, the Warbird Rescue Hour with our fellow Wix members on there. They've got a great show in store for tomorrow. So make sure and tune in, and also tune in tomorrow morning for the live show in the morning. So it's always great here on Warbird Radio. So we're going to start to close out the show. Zane, it's been great having you again, and hopefully from now on out I'll be here. The latrines don't need that much help, so I'll be on the show regularly.
Well, I'm glad you're back, Ryan. I get you know, it's tough to sit here and talk to yourself, so I'm glad to have somebody else to talk to.
I do it all the time. So,
there you go.
All right, folks, thanks for tuning in this evening, and we'll join in with you next week here on the Wix Warbird Weekly Live Radio Show here on Warbird Radio. While you're